And I thought about what a clothes conscious world we live in, a fashion conscious world. And we've all heard the phrase dressing for success. I mean, we've heard about it because a man who was a teacher in a prep school did some experimental work and found that students in classes where a person dressed, and this seems almost unheard of today, who dressed casually in a tie and a sport coat and maybe penny loafers and slacks and everything matched, did not do as well as someone who wore a dark suit, tie shoes, and taught the exact same subject. And he took that with his experience of working in a men's store in New York City and reported to a law firm that the choices their lawyers were making when they came into this exclusive men's store were probably not appropriate for their profession. And eventually the law firm started consulting with him, and this gentleman named John Malloy wrote a book based on his experience in 1961 called Dressed for Success, which is a worldwide bestseller. There's a dress for success for men, a dress for success for women. It's research based on how the clothing we wear fits in to a success pattern. Well, now you realize I don't normally wear a necktie, but I thought this morning I would dress for success. I mean, according to his instructions, you know, wearing a black suit, or certainly a very dark navy blue, but black is preferred, if you want to come across to show some sense of authority and power in your life and when you're working. The black means that you're serious, that you're committed, and it also conveys that you are willing to work with a team and be submissive. Of course, we needed to consider power, so I wore a tie that the red dominates. But you know, if I really wanted to show a power trend, I would have gone with a predominantly red background with few and very small little symbols or things on my tie. And so the more red, the more power that is displayed. Wearing a white shirt promotes the idea of cleanliness and goodness and honesty. And had I tailored my suit, I would really have my cuffs showing about that much. You know, our bishop's an impeccable dresser, and you know, he's always wearing French cuffs, but I was doing this before he came here as bishop. And his coats are just always tailored, and I am sure they have had a rush on French cuff shirts since Bishop Al Gwynn came to the Norfolk Carolina Conference. You notice ministers dressing like the leader. And that happens in organizations. That's one of the things that Malloy talks about in his Dress for Success book. Of course, I was careful to make sure my belt and my shoes matched, so that wouldn't be a fatal flaw. Now, that's stuff that we've been living with since the early 70s, that we dress for success. You know, every little child, even in kindergarten, comes home wanting to wear what the other kids are wearing so they fit in, right, parents and grandparents? And certainly, if you're a teenager, your status in school largely depends on whether you're dressing for success in that particular group or not. People are constantly being evaluated on the basis of what they're wearing and whether they're making some kind of fashion statement, good or bad. Because that is such a dominating force in our culture. Other related expressions are, as I've said, making a fashion statement, dressing for the part, or the clothes make the man or the person. That's how we are dominated by this fashion sense. And in our scripture today, Jesus tells us to be clothed with power from on high. Not visited occasionally, but to be clothed with power from on high. In the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus was teaching his disciples who were worried and anxious about a lot of things, he says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we wear?" And then he goes on to say, "But strive first for the kingdom of God, and all of these other things will be added to you." Paul uses the phrase frequently. In Ephesians 4:21 and 22, he says, "You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with a new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." In the book of Colossians, he says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Maybe in Paul's most mature work, he shares these words in Romans 13. "Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So throughout the New Testament, we have these images of being clothed in a certain way. And the purpose of clothing, in spite of some of what we see in the world today and on the streets, is to cover oneself. I went to a dance recital yesterday. I was telling Calvin, you know, one of the advantages of having boys is you don't go to dance recitals because they last forever and ever and ever. And they go on and on and on. But if you haven't been to a dance recital in recent years, you would not believe the skimpy, provocative kind of clothing these girls wear, not to mention the kind of moves they're making as they do it. That many of our dance schools, the largest groups on stage were hip-hop. And some of the lyrics that were played were not appropriate for adults, much less children. So even though theoretically clothes are to cover the body instead of expose it, we realize that what Scripture is saying when it talks about being clothed in righteousness, what Paul is saying when he says, "Put on Christ Jesus," to be clothed with the characteristics of compassion and humility and love. That means cover up the self. Cover up the sinful part of ourselves. Put it on and show a new face to the world. But you know, I don't think our problem is that we're not willing to put it on. It's that we just take it off so quickly. We put it on to go to church. We put it on when it's convenient to look good and nice. And then we take it off and we hang it into a closet and we don't worry about it because now I'm going to do things my way. You know, the question that I guess God's really asking us this morning through this scripture, are we dressed for the success of His church? This church. Not that you have to come here and make a fashion statement by your worldly clothing, but have you sufficiently put on the character and the things of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we are dressing ourselves spiritually for the success of the mission and the life of this church? Or do we come here to get our needs met? Do we come here shopping for what we want? Are we so self-centered that we cannot be compassionate and loving and friendly and cordial to one another because we have put on Christ in our lives and we're just so busy, like these sales where people line up outside the doors and they open the doors and people just about run over whoever unlocked the door and each other to get the best deals. There's no way on earth our Lord meant that. There's no way on earth Paul meant that when he said, put on Christ Jesus. You see, we're not willing to dress for the success of the life that God's called us to. We're not willing to put on the spiritual things that are going to make a difference in our lives. That will come as if we're going to a masquerade party to church. But we won't wear those clothes all week long. We won't wear those clothes in our marriages, in our parenting relationships with our children, or in children's relationships with their parents. We don't wear them to school because it doesn't fit the style or the place. Obviously, it's not worn much at dance recitals, although I was touched by several religious numbers and dances that were beautiful and appropriate that praised God as a part of that dance recital yesterday. Do we just see our faith as something we put on and take off for Sunday, and it hangs in a closet until the next time we go to church or when it's convenient for our lives? The kind of clothing that God wants to put on us is the kind of clothing that was on those who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and their clothes didn't wear out. God wants to put eternal clothing upon us that shows forth His love and the character of His Son, Christ Jesus. If we're not being the church God's called us to be, it's because we have not been willing to dress for the success of the church and put on Christ Jesus and realize there is our hope, there is our promise, there is our way to fulfill all of the good things that God wants for our lives and wants us to share with that world beyond these doors. The very fact that we're not bringing people into the life of the church more regularly than we are is that we're not willing to put on the power of the Spirit that God would send upon us to be a witness for Jesus in the world today. Are you willing to dress for the success of the mission of this and every church to honor Christ our Lord? Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, save us from being so fashion conscious about the things of this world. And there's really nothing wrong with that. We live in a world that fashion does indeed make a statement. And that to maybe live successfully in our world, we do have to dress for success. But help us also to be aware that your Son taught us that dressing for the success of the world means allowing you, Heavenly Father, to clothe us with power. And that power is in your Holy Spirit. That power is bearing the image of Christ Jesus. So just as I told the little girls that gathered this morning for the children's moments, if you and Christ Jesus are to show forth in us, we must be clothed in your power, Father, to be witnesses to our world, that your church might grow and prosper and bring glory to your name. We ask your blessings upon us as we accept what you offer us in power and in holiness. Amen.